This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 755. I am Lisa Sheps, and I am joined by my lovely co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
And we are also joined by future programmer, Brianna Witherspoon.
Howdy, y'all.
You're listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live at koop.org. Remember, if it's theater, it's on Offstage and On the Air. Show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. It is Wednesday, January 17th, 2024. On the show today, we have the Filigree Theater and their show, Photograph 51. Later on, we'll be talking to different stages in their show, The Library. And of course, we're going to have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Albuquerque, somewhere in California, and points north. Stick with us.
How can I serve you, Mamselle? If what I do to pleasure you exposes my love. No! How can I serve you?
Okay, how can I serve you, madame?
Aw, that made me sad you played that.
It made you sad?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, and we know why. You know why?
Well, that's the Barry Manilow musical, Harmony.
That is Harmony.
And they announced their closing
date. Their closing, yes. I love how you know everything.
It took so long for them to finally get that. Like,
it took over 10 years.
Yes,
like,
and it
15
finally,
years.
It just officially, it's opening just in November, and people have been so excited, and poor Manilow.
Yep. Well, let's hold that thought for a second, because we're going to talk about that again, but that is exactly what that's from. That's from
Harmony.
Yeah, it's from Harmony, but I'm trying to remember the name of the group, Harmonics.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot. We'll figure it out. Anyway, so hi, Nicole. You staying warm?
Hi, I am. I have proper clothes for it all. Just stinks. Takes too long to do everything. Well, all the layers. I feel like the marshmallow, Stay Puff Marshmallow Man, trying to walk around.
Yeah, we love the Stay Puff Marshmallow. That's the good thing about winter.
Yep.
We were talking before we went in on the air about your grandmother.
Yeah, so I went to visit her last week, and then last week you asked me about it, and we were talking about her and I, talking about theater, and what a great visit. And she was listening. She was streaming live from her cottage out in Petaluma, California. She was so excited. We mentioned Betty Burns on air, and she loved the show.
That's amazing.
Just loved the show, and I'm like, I love that Mabes is streaming from California to listen to us.
Shout out to Maves. Hey, Maves.
Mabel.
That's the city in California I was trying to... I don't know where she's in.
She's
where?
Up in Petaluma.
Petaluma. I like to say Petaluma.
You like to say Petaluma?
It's a fun name. Brianna Witherspoon is here engineering.
Good afternoon, everybody. Hope everyone's doing really well today.
Tell us about yourself. What are you doing here on Co-op? What kind of show do you want to do once you get your programmer certificate?
It's going to be a little bit of this, a little bit of that, news and public affairs. If I get to talk to great artists, it would be amazing, but it's going to be a very hyper-local and all about our beautiful city of Austin.
And how much do you know about theater? What gives you the right to be on this show?
Please don't murder me, but nothing.
Okay, it's all right. We'll tease you later. Well, so let's introduce the other folks that are here with us. Or I actually said the other folk. We'll get more as we go. We're just going to spit people in here little by little. But we are fortunate enough to have J. Kevin Smith here. Welcome back, Kevin.
Thank you so much. It's great to be back, Lisa.
Well, it is good to have you back. So as we talked about, I want to thank Kim Simpson for another wonderful International Folk Bazaar.
Yeah, I don't know where he finds all that fantastic music each week, but he always has me hopping.
But here's what dawned on me as I was listening to him and his pronunciation. It seems like every other language but English trills their R's. So I think we need to start doing that.
I'll do it with you if you want.
Yeah.
Make it happen.
Except for German or in Hebrew, they go...
Yeah, there's some of that.
Yeah, there's some.
We can do both.
Yeah, we can do both. Anyway, Des loved listening to it. He had some really
multi-talented.
We are indeed.
That's how we roll, Lisa.
So, as you mentioned, Barry Manilow's Passion Project is closing on Broadway on February 4th. I said it was a decade, but he was working on getting that for about 25 years.
Right?
Yeah. It was directed by Warren Carlyle. It opened back in November. When it closes, it will have played 96 performances and 24 previews. And it only cost $15 million to put that puppy up.
Is that all?
That was up. That was it. Kevin, do you know the show, Harmony?
I don't, but Copacabana is one of my favorite go-to karaoke songs. So
I
love
don't think it's in there.
It's not in there, nor is Lola, but... Yeah.
But this is it's funny in this article that talks about it closing. It doesn't give me the name of the
group.
Somebody Harmonics. It was a group of men that sang during and up to World War II. Some of which were Jewish, and it was it was based on a documentary.
I know.
Yeah,
interesting.
Yeah, there you go. So the other thing I just want to talk about.
He just had a birthday, that Barry Manilow, like a week or two ago. Yeah, he turned 80.
Yeah, well, he's...
Go, Barry.
He's still young,
bon
as far as I'm concerned.
Barry.
Here's what I want to talk about. We'll talk about The Great Gatsby right now. Great Gatsby is coming to Broadway. But, you know, when...
I think we knew this, though, when they were, you know, when Ava left Hadestown to go to Paper Mill to do this. I think... It
yeah,
was all
that
like,
sort of that yeah. was the and but this is one of two Great Gatsbys that will eventually come to Broadway. There's the other one that is being directed by Rachel Chavkin and has got a book by Martina Mayoke and songs by Florence Welch, Florence and the Machine.
Yes.
So you know it went on public domain in 2021. And almost immediately, two musicals came out.
I know. Well, it was like, remember when they did that? Oh, my gosh. What was the one they did that with? And there was two that came out at the same time.
It was The Wild Party?
Yes, thank you. Because I was like, one had Daphne and Ruba Vega, and one had Eartha Kitt.
Yeah, and I've not
and,
seen...
And, hey, she's one that... Eartha. She liked to roll her R's.
She did. Eartha.
She was my favorite cab when you used to get in the cabs, and the famous people would tell you to buckle your seatbelts. Hers was... Cats have nine lives, but you have only one.
And why do you suppose she mentioned
cats? So buckle
cats?
Up for safety.
Why do you suppose she mentioned cats?
Oh, because she was Catwoman.
She was Catwoman.
But she did say, hi, this is Eartha Kitt. Cats have only nine lives. Oh my gosh, it was the great. I miss those seatbelt buckle ups from the people in the
I don't want to spoil today in theater history, but it is her birthday.
Is it really?
Yes.
It's kismet. Eartha, baby, you knew. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So
she trolled her R's, and you wanted to bring it back.
She did. We bring everything back. So Great Gatsby is opening. This one that is opening is starring, as you mentioned, Eva Noblezada. I can't pronounce her name. And Jeremy Jordan.
Jeremy Jordan.
Yep.
And choreographed by one Dominique Kelly, who has a lot of ties to Austin here. He choreographed Singing in the Rain at Zach, Priscilla Queen of the Desert, Sophisticated Ladies. He is a talented dude. I was so excited to see Dominique doing that choreography.
Yay.
And a handsome devil, too.
This is Chun-Soo Shin is a Korean producer, is backing most of this. He did Once Upon a One More Time. Dr. Zhivago and Holler If You Hear Me. Holler.
That's a very eclectic group of...
Yeah. Holler If You Hear Me I was going to go see that, and it closed... Remember, it closed early. That was the Tupac musical.
Yes, I know.
That was great. And now we are lucky enough to be joined by Elizabeth Newman. Hi, Elizabeth. How are you?
Hello. How are you?
Good. Welcome. So we're just chitting and chatting right now. So you're going to want to get that microphone right up by your mouth up here. Yeah, I just give instructions over the air. There you go. Okay.
You know why? Because you like to show how the sausage is made.
I do. The Great Gatsby is going to begin previews on March 29th, and it opens April 25th. So that's The Great Gatsby.
Yeah.
Let's see what else is on my... Oh, I want to talk about this, because we've been talking about this a lot. There was another article in the paper of record about movie musical trailers. And how they
don't show the music. It's all bait and switch, ridiculous.
Yeah.
The musical people who love musicals don't know.
And this is an article by Alexis Solosky. Can you turn my headphones up just a little bit? Thank you. Oh, perfect.
Just like the color purple. Push the button.
Push the button. Anyway, it's an interesting article and talks about why they've done that. In the article, she says they spend much of their marketing budget downplaying and disguising the idea of it's a musical. And they're talking about some of the musicals that didn't do very well, specifically West Side Story, Dear Evan Hansen, and In the Heights. And I have to say, West Side Story and In the Heights were both really good musicals.
Yeah, they were. Actually, I really enjoyed In the Heights a lot more than I thought I was going to enjoy the movie of it.
What do y'all think?
I mean, I'm a huge Spielberg lover, so West Side Story was amazing. I thought, when I went into it, I thought, well, this is unnecessary because the original's so good. Why would anybody remake that? And I watched it and went, oh, I understand why they might remake it.
Well, he did a really good job of fixing some of the problematic issues around it, and the way he handled the role of anybody's in that film was just amazing and really, really good.
I'm a big fan of the In the Heights movie, and so is my daughter, Leah. She's a big Lin-Manuel Miranda fan.
Yeah, well, she wrote the review for New York Times, right?
Yeah.
I did as well. So, Dear Evan Hansen musical, not so much.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of problems before that went in. I don't understand that, but I have problems with some of that show too. But that's okay.
But what's weird is what I don't understand is why hide it when, you know, when you go see the show, it's a musical.
It's a musical.
You can't. So it doesn't make sense that they don't market it that way. She points out that then you take a movie like Barbie, which really isn't a musical, but it was really marketed on whimsy and fun, which is what musicals are.
And it was a musical.
Yep.
In essence. And but they're looking to put it on Broadway. I'm like, we don't need to go there.
Yeah, I agree.
We just really need to stop right here. Ryan Gosling's face summed it up when it won the best song. Like, that sums it up.
So there's three musicals out right now. Wonka.
I was like, Wonka, which Color... no one even thought was a musical, even though you knew the other ones were musicals and they made a movie. So
spoiler, you spoil everything I was going to say. I was about to say, I didn't even know it was a musical.
Yeah. I love
Wonka,
that little Timothy.
Timothy Chalamet, specifically.
He's so good in Dune.
But we're not talking about Dune.
Nobody's good in it.
Unless it's a musical.
Dune the musical. The Color Purple, and now Mean Girls. I have seen only one of those. I saw The Color Purple. Anybody see any of the musicals?
I saw Wonka.
What'd you think?
I loved it. I thought it was great. And I did know it was a musical going into it, even though they tried to hide it. But, you know, I dug it. And the way they brought in pure imagination was perfect.
Pure imagination?
It was.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I want to see Wonka.
Yeah, I do too. It's on my list. I think I'm waiting for it to go to streaming, unfortunately.
Then on the movie musical side, you look at movies like Les Miserables. They marketed that as a musical, and it's getting a re-release in theaters.
It sure is.
On February 23rd.
Well, it would be hard to market Les Miserables as anything other than
that. I don't
know.
I mean, it is a book before it is a musical.
Right.
Have you read that book? That's a hefty book. I read that book in French.
But.
Bravo.
But if you take that musical, which is completely sung through, how do you take clips out that's not singing?
I don't know.
You don't.
You know, can't. They were in it to win it. Yeah. I appreciate it.
So as of night before last Emmy Awards, we have a new EGOT winner.
I know. Well-deserved. And someone
so
that should have been on the list a long time ago, it almost seems like.
Yeah.
With his contributions to not just theater, but art in general.
Yep.
That would be Elton John.
Thank you. Actually a show that I didn't see.
Who has the same birthday as my mother, and she's obsessed with that.
For a show called Farewell from Dodger Stadium.
It was his Yellow Brick Road tour that he did, and he filmed it live at Dodger Stadium. I saw him 3 nights before he filmed that in that final tour. And Let me tell you something. I've seen him play a whole bunch, but this final tour, it was really special and very theatrical, and it felt...
Did you see it?
Yeah.
Oh, lovely.
It felt like you were just sitting in his living room having a cocktail with a piano, and he was going to tell you songs and sing, like what Liza does in her apartment thing, but it was Elton. And it was fantastic. And my mom had seen the Yellow Brick Road tour like 3 times, and she goes, this was completely different. He was like at the end, the last 3 concerts, and was so, I'm just going to give you raw everything. And it was, Todd was with
anyway,
me.
He has 5 Grammys, 2 Oscars,
Partridge in a Pear Tree.
That's what it says. Uh-huh. Partridge in a Pear Tree. He's the second eldest individually to get the competitive EGOT. So that's so I like that they're changing up a little bit.
It's the EGOT of all EGOTs.
They've got EGOTs that are competitive, but there are 19 currently. But there are 6 EGOT winners that got awards. For that were special awards.
Like special Liza. Awards or lifetime. Yeah, Liza was one of those.
Yeah. Cheaters. That's what we like to call them.
I still don't think she's a cheater. She's Liza Minnelli.
So the other EGOT winners are Richard Rodgers, Helen Hayes, Rita Moreno, Audrey Hepburn, Marvin Hamlis, Jonathan Tunick, Mel Brooks. I just rewatched Blazing Saddles.
Oh, so great.
So funny.
So good.
Mike Nichols, Whoopi Goldberg, Scott Rudin. John Legend, Andrew Lloyd Webber, Alan Menken, and Jennifer Hudson.
So a bunch of slackers, huh?
Yep. A bunch of slackers. So we like...
I was excited for Elton.
EGOTs.
Yeah. Because let's be honest, John Legend's on there, but Elton John wasn't. Like, that's travesty. Yeah. And John's talented. I'm not... But it's a little bit of, like...
I love you. I love that you're on first name basis with John Legend.
We got to get Lin-Manuel Miranda his O. He doesn't have his O yet.
He's still too young for that, I think. He's got time. He needs to take a few acting lessons first.
Maybe.
That's just my thought.
He'll go somewhere.
That's just my thought. Okay, two more things that I want to talk about so we're good on time. We have 2 interesting movies that are coming out.
Oh, yeah.
We were very sad that Shucked closed.
Going on tour,
and there's a movie.
Yeah, too soon for the movie. Why? Just too much. I think it's bad timing and just shoving way too much Shucked down the throat. And that's as much as, like, everybody knows Shucked that's really in a theater world and not the rest of the world. There's going to be a lot of education for Shucked when it goes on the road. And now you're just going to go straight into doing the movie, too, where I'm like, build your audience. Get that cult following. Make it like the Beetlejuice, and get people excited. So I just think it's bad marketing.
I just love it that this week you have opinions on absolutely everything.
I do.
On everything.
Mm-hmm. And mine are right. You know that. But you know what we should probably say?
Not yet.
Okay.
But now that we said that, we have to say it. We should say that the opinions expressed here on Offstage and on the Air are not necessarily those of Co-op, its board of directors, its underwriters, or its staff. It's just our crazy
just ours
thinking. And speaking of theater, I was gonna say this prior to talking about the theater that was the Iowa caucuses.
Oh,
speaking
of Shucked. So it's been interesting theater on the Republican side of the aisle, and it continues to be so. So there. Not a big fan of the Republican side of the aisle.
How do you feel?
Boy, I'm glad I did that disclaimer. going the other direction of a show that probably should have happened sooner, Big River is getting a movie.
And why hasn't that happened sooner, right?
Okay, good. Now, we agree on something.
If we can get the right people attached to everything, it'll be fantastic. If we don't, it could go downhill.
Well, so this is...
Downstream.
Down the stream, exactly.
So this is, of course, the musical from the 80s that is the Tom Sawyer Huckleberry Finn story, score by Roger Miller Hopton.
I don't remember their names, but I can tell you the score is beautiful. The music is really just
it is beautiful. It was
lovely.
It was nominated for 10 Tony Awards. It won 7.
So they honestly, had the other people found it lovely too.
Yeah. 2003, I think, was the Deaf West revival. that was just amazing, which actually set, that was watching that, watching their Tony performance set my goal to do something like that, which Ground Floor Theater has now done two performances in both English and ASL. So,
cool.
And that was all based on watching that Tony performance.
See, inspiring.
Totally inspiring. So we don't get time to talk about everything, but you can see the things that we aren't going to talk about by going to offstageonair.com and clicking on the links. We
got through a lot of this today, and we don't always do that.
We don't.
I know.
One thing to note is Charlotte St. Martin, who was
It was yesterday. Yeah.
She's been there since 2006 in leadership. And the other thing I would love, there's a great article.
There's another new leader.
About Josh Radner, who's doing a show about the Jewish experience and the Palestinian experience.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, written before October 6th.
Isn't that bananas?
But it's a very interesting article talking about how he... looking at his Jewish roots and how the dichotomy of how to support Israel and support other humans in that same area at the same time. So the two jobs, two state solution and stuff like that.
Stuff like that.
Stuff like that. Let's take a little break. We're going to listen to a little bit from Wonka, from the film. And this is Timothy Chalamet singing, "You've Never Had Chocolate Like This."
I love him.
Jungle near Mumbai, there's a little hoverfly whose wings go
out. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and on the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
We've been having
a great time talking about theater with Elizabeth Newman and J. Kevin Smith. And now we're going to introduce them in real life for what they're actually here to talk about. So Elizabeth Newman, Artistic Director of Filigree Theater and Director of this piece.
Yes, indeed.
And Director of this piece. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And one of the performers. Is it J. Kevin Smith or just Kevin Smith?
You can just call me Kevin Smith. The J is for show only.
J is for show only. That was my sorority name in college. Kevin Smith, who's one of the actors in this show, which is called Photograph 51, which I have to say before we even talk about it, so much better than Photograph 50.
Yes. I missed the first 50 episodes of the Photograph series, so I'm glad to participate in this one.
So tell us about this. This is your fifth anniversary and or fifth season. And what I love about what you do, and I think that you were on our show in your very first season as well.
Yes.
But each of your seasons has a theme. And what's the theme for this season?
So thank you. This season's theme is the woman in the story.
The woman in the story. Yeah. This is your second show of this season, correct?
Yes. Awesome. Yes. Our fall show was Antigone, David Rush's adaptation of Antigone.
Lovely, which is great. Not to tangentially, I found one of the people that I've been working with, Liz Tyson, from Antigone.
Yes.
So thank you for that. And I'm sorry.
Amazing Liz Tyson.
I did not get to see the show. I really wanted to. But we're not here to talk about Antigone. We're here to talk about Photograph 51. Tell us about this show. This is a playwright you've worked with in the past.
Yes. So Anna Ziegler is a friend from college. And
Yale.
Also, yes.
So we'll just throw that out.
We actually, speaking of our first season, our winter show season one was another beautiful, beautiful play by Anna called A Delicate Ship. So we were super happy for our fifth season to be doing another piece by Anna. And Laura Ray, who is the woman in the story, mm-hmm. for Photograph 51, was actually also in A Delicate Ship. So there's some
lovely. We just keep coming full circle. Yes.
And we rehearsed that piece at Picture Box.
Which was my studio.
Yes.
Oh, so, that's right. Yeah. Now it's all coming. Coming back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everything comes full circle.
It does. It does.
We like full circle mm-hmm. here, and yes. we like tying stuff in together.
So what is, give us the nickel tour of Photograph 51.
Sure.
Is it about a photographer?
It is not actually. It's about X-ray photography. It's about scientists. Mm-hmm. It's about the race to find the structure of DNA. And Laura Ray plays Rosalind Franklin, who is the woman in the story, who is oft forgotten. We know names like Watson and Crick, who are also characters in the play. And we also have Maurice Wilkins, who I'm going to hand it over to Kevin, because that's who Kevin plays.
Yeah, so, I mean, it is a story about the race to find DNA, but it is primarily the story about the one woman who was part of that group to find DNA. She was a photographer who took a very famous, important photograph in the scientific
world.
I was like,
that photograph 51
because it was the photograph that sort of tipped off everyone to what DNA looked like and what it was.
So that's where we got the double helix.
She was not like an art photographer. It was, right, it was X-ray photography.
X-ray photography.
Rosalind Franklin. You were talking about this. I didn't know you were on as guest today, and it's fantastic because my mother and I were just talking today earlier about George Washington Carver and the peanuts and finding the XY chromosomes for how blue eyes, black, like the brown eyes before DNA. And then we started talking about photograph 51 with X-rays and DNA. Just totally random. So this is exciting.
Science.
Don't it make your brown eyes blue?
Yeah.
And this is great for radio, but this is actually a copy of the photograph.
Of the actual photo. I remember that.
Fork that over. Let me show that
learning
to our listening
that in
audience.
School.
There you go.
Okay. We just showed it to the, so that is the photograph.
I don't want to give anything away, but when I look at that photograph, I don't see anything but lines. So the fact that scientists made something out of that is amazing to me.
That's true. And folks can go to filigreetheater.com and see this, correct? If they
yes,
want
indeed.
To.
Yes. And while you know, the story is the race to find the structure of DNA, because it is very British, there are some simmering relationships that are, you know, buried six layers down and all very buttoned up. And
I mean, I think the story, you know, a lot of people know about Watson and Crick, sort of the two men who generally get the credit for finding DNA.
And the Nobel.
Other people, particularly Rosalind, has sort of gotten forgotten about. And so this play is really an attempt to
sort of
bring her story to life and make sure that her contributions are remembered for what she did.
Wonderful. Here's a very stupid question. Is she still living?
She's not. In fact, of the people in the cast, I think there was only one living historical
figure.
Oh,
there is? I thought they were all gone.
No, James Watson is still alive. He's 95 and very racist. And... He's somewhat been canceled, but he's 95, so you got to give him a little bit of a break.
No, you don't.
Okay, you don't. But yes, he's the only living person left from this.
So that's wonderful. What is the? The theme is a woman in the story. Your filigree tends to always focus on female stories, correct?
Yes, it's not expressly part of our mission, but sort of what we are. Mm-hmm.
It's your jam.
Yeah, it's our jam. Yeah, it is the fabric of Filigree. Your performers, playwrights, directors.
And well, this is great. So, does the show takes place across the pond?
It does in London and
heard of that place.
King's College in Cambridge, the laboratory.
There's a lot of white coats. Yes. In this show.
Well, it's good. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of white coats in my life.
So is it a comedy or a drama?
It's a drama. A drama. It's you know, the plot line is sort of runs through the whole finding of DNA, but there are a lot of relationship issues that are explored in great detail in this somewhat fictionalized account of that historical time. You know, there are a lot of reasons why Rosalind Franklin, the photographer, was sort of left out of the historical records. You know, needless to say, in 1950s British scientific community, there was maybe a slight touch of misogyny.
Just a little.
Maybe.
And and so definitely that plays a part in this whole thing. And unfortunately, spoiler alert, she also passed away quite early as well, soon after her research was complete on DNA. And I think that's might be part of the reason also
bummer.
Why
yeah.
she's gotten lost to history.
But what is neat, extending the shout out to Liz Tyson, is Liz did a deep dive into Linus Pauling, who was another scientist who was researching out in California, and actually found some of Rosalind Franklin's notes. And so actually what we use on set are photocopies of her actual research, and there's an article in Nature magazine, which we've recreated from she found the original copy, and the papers that were presented. This show is we're staging it in the round, so the audience will be all around, sort
immersed
of
immersed in the lab.
Right. Well, that was
exactly sort of like the operating theater feeling. Yeah.
Yeah, that is exactly where I was going next, because that's one of the
smart minds, my friend.
Yes. you know, we don't see many companies opting to do theater in the round. I love it. I love that you're doing it. And one of the things that you say is that so that it remains, it maintains that intimacy. Yeah. And so people can actually see a lot of these props and the writings that you're actually going to be having out there.
Yeah, they'll have a very good view.
And was the decision to go in the round to basically play on the operating theater idea, or did you just want to do something in the round?
You know, it was a combination of a few things. One, in talking with Allison Lewis as our scenic and lighting designer, and actually both of our minds sort of gravitated towards doing it in the round. I think it is to have that intimacy. It is also, again, I reference Great for the Radio, the circle and the X of mm-hmm. The photograph. Kind of replicating the feeling of the image. One, for me, this is my first time staging a show in the round. This season, for the whole season, we're at this amazing art space factory on 5th. And so some of the challenge and fun is it's a converted Quonset hut. So it's like a domed space. Warehouse type space. So for each show, using it in a different way because it has that flexibility. I think it's been wild staging it. It's like playing four-dimensional chess because also, except for Rosalind, none of the other actors leave the stage.
And we're always on stage. Lucky always. You. If we're not in the scene, we're watching the scene.
Yeah.
Got it. Factory on 5th. You're just following exactly the where I was going.
We you are. You and I are like the synergy.
5th and what? Where on 5th is this? It's, approximately.
It's on the it's on the east side.
It's on the east side.
Yeah, it's a big building.
It's close to 183.
Yeah, it's between. Yeah, thank you. Like Pleasant Valley and Springdale.
Yep. So I know that area well.
Yes, you do indeed. We're neighbors.
So that's exciting.
It's very close to Ground Floor Theater.
It is indeed. Thank you for mentioning that. Here's an interesting question that's apropos for the past few days. Is it climate controlled?
It does. It does have heating, not centralized heating, but good heaters.
There's a big fire in the middle.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
The entire play takes place around a fire pit.
Well, that's amazing. I did not realize. I knew y'all did Antigone there, and obviously this.
Where we did actually have a fire pit, but...
That's cool. Like a fire pit?
Well, it was not lit.
Oh, okay.
No. I mean, it was lit.
I'd be okay if you did.
Yeah.
I would allow that to happen.
Yes, we did Antigone there. Yeah.
Yeah, and so you're doing your whole season there.
We are, yes. Yeah,
that's great. That's always nice.
Season 5 on Factory on 5th, yeah.
Yeah, it's just that we should play 5 in the lottery.
Totally.
You never know.
That's wonderful. Is there any... Do I want to bring the kids to this?
So I would say... I'd say 12 and up. I know my daughter and some of her friends from school are coming. They're in 5th grade, so 10, 11. I would say just because of the nature of the play, for their interest, there's not...
Yeah, there's nothing language-wise or anything like that that's offensive, but you know, will a kid enjoy it is the bigger question.
There you go.
Yeah.
Got it.
Should just maybe add a clown to the cast.
Budding young scientists.
I was about to say, you're going to have those young scientists. Totally into it.
So we are totally out of time. Tell us when you open, when you close.
So we open on January 25th, and we play through February 4th.
Wonderful. And where can folks go to get more information about the show?
Filigreetheater.com.
Well, Elizabeth Newman and Kevin Smith, thank you all so much for coming back on the show.
Thanks so much for having you here.
Wonderful. That was Elizabeth Newman and Kevin Smith of Filigree Theater's Photograph 51, playing January 25th through February 4th on Factory on 5th. For more information, you may visit filigreetheater.com. And this is from a show called In Vitro, the rock opera. It's called Genes and DNA.
If it all came down to genes and DNA.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Nicole and Lisa. And Nicole.
Hello. Yes.
Okay.
Me. I'm with you.
You're here. And we also have Brianna. How are you doing, Brianna? Are you having fun?
I am having fun. I hope it sounds okay out there.
You're doing an amazing job. I normally do not let anybody touch my board, so this is a first for me, for somebody just coming in. Normally, back in the day, we used to do a long-term apprenticeship where my apprentices did do it, but Brianna and I just talked today, and she's doing an awesome job. Thank you.
Thank you so much, truly.
We are joined in the studio by Carl Gonzalez and Lacey Cannon Gonzalez. How are you guys?
Doing all right. How
doing
about you?
Well.
Great. We're just sitting here talking about some of the local stuff going on, and then we're going to talk about your show. So feel free to join in. And you know what? I gotta turn on my computer because the one thing that I wanted to talk about, I think, is in the computer. But something I'm surprised I have not talked about yet, and I know I'm not going to pronounce this right, and Carl, you can fix me.
Of course.
Cabaret dos Revoluciones.
That's actually pretty close. Cabarets.
It is Cabarets.
Yeah.
All right. And it's Proyecto Teatro over at the Vortex, plays through the 28th. And I think I have some information. Have either of y'all seen it?
We've seen the first one.
Yes.
And it was incredible.
What do you mean seen the first? So this is a
remount or
remount
part two
with,
or
it seems like
continuation
they're doing a series. So they did the first one, which was the Origins.
Which was when?
That was in the fall.
Oh,
I think
okay.
We had them on for
October.
That.
October. Oh.
I think so.
I think y'all did too.
So this is their second installation.
That's cool.
Well, you can get information about it at vortexrep.org. It plays through the 20th. It looks like a lot of fun. And we love the work they do. It is in Espanol, but it has English super titles. So no reason not to go.
No
right?
reason.
No reason. Other things, playing. I'm very excited to, I'm not going to be able to go, but in on the 6th of February through the 11th, Beetlejuice, the national tour, is coming through Austin.
It is. It's coming here before Houston. Look
Austin.broadway.com. Get information about that. I don't get to see it. Over at Ground Floor Theater, this is the last final weekend to see Back to You, the Austin Rainbow Theater. It plays through the 20th. Austin Repertory Theater is the Diviners, playing through the 28th. We just talked to Filigree Theater and Photograph 51 over at Factory on 5th.
Yeah.
I love Factory on 5th.
You do like that.
I do. Austin Playhouse, Spitfire Grill, opens on the 26th of this month through the 18th of February. Frontera Fest is going on right this very second.
This minute.
This is the first week. And Carl and Lacey, y'all have an entry. Two
I
different
actually,
entries, right?
I actually do not. I'm
oh,
just going to help
did.
It. Nope, not this time.
Oh,
just
okay.
Lacey.
No, I'm directing a piece on that opens January 23rd called I'll Make an End.
Tell us about it.
Well, it is a conversation between an artist and death. And they talk about Shakespeare, love, and
who's
dying.
Also dead.
Yeah, he talks about death and he is dead. Yeah. he might Good. Know something about it. Mm-hmm. And then also dying in elevator shafts, that comes up. But death may or may not be a puppet that is operated by two people.
Who oh, stars in it? Who stars in it?
It is one Michael Galvan
Heard
and
of him.
Tony Knight.
Michael Galvan just had some kind of birthday.
He did on Monday.
He did.
And Tony Knight. I'm not familiar with her.
You love her. We'll introduce you.
But that is good. So that's amazing. Frontera Fest, for those that didn't listen to the show last week and have been in some kind of Austin hole for the past 12 years, it is a short fringe festival, four nights a week for 4 weeks. Each night has five different shows, and they're 25 minutes or less.
Yep.
As Ken and Christy like to say, if you don't like what you're watching, just hold on. You'll see it. You'll
like
get something
else. Next. Yep.
Something really, really fun to see. So that's happening right now. I'm going on with my Frontera Fest. Million Dollar Quartet over at TexArts. I don't think it's in their new space.
No, it's not.
But it's in their old space, but they are getting a new space. Ground Floor Theater, February 15th, opens Always a Boy, world premiere. It plays through the 2nd of March. And later on, starting at the end of this month, The Great Comet of 1958.
Natasha Pierre and The Great Comet of 1812.
That's the one.
Mm-hmm. I was like, why does that not sound right?
No, it's not right. There's also...
we just call it The Great Comet.
They also have Hans Christian Andersen's The Little Mermaid.
Oh.
Opening next week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What do they call those? Feet? Anybody? Anybody? Anybody with me?
I'm caught up.
You.
Thank you. Thanks so much. I will be here all week. let's see. Okay. That's basically it. Unless is there anything other locally highlight that you want to talk about? Of course, we're going to talk about your show.
Sure.
Coming up.
Is there anything else? I don't think.
Mm-mm. I think that covers it.
I think
it
covered it.
Right now.
Y'all are while we're here and while we're having you, while we're talking local, and we have like just a minute. Both of you are Biden Payne committee members, are you not?
Yes.
We are.
Tell folks just like in the smallest little way you can, what the heck is that?
Like our elevator pitch. We did not prepare for this.
I know.
We get to go and we get to celebrate theater around Austin.
Yeah,
is what
we just get to go and see a bunch of shows and celebrate the things we love.
Yeah, amazing. Biden Payne's are our version of the Tonys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and everybody here in this room have won a whole bunch of them. So that's good. All right, today in theater history.
Dun, 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 dun.
The revival of Cat on a Hot Tin Roof opened in 2013.
Oh, as a witch revival.
Yeah, the one in
2013. Yes.
In 2008, here in the month of January, November opened.
Okay, that's kind of funny.
I don't know
November.
I know, and it was in 2008. It is in the world of offstage and on the air. So why don't we know about this?
I don't know.
Things that are not in the world of offstage and on the air. 1956, Fallen Angels open. That's a Noel Coward show.
Do love the Noel Coward.
Yeah, we like it.
He's a little cheeky.
And then Ralph Richardson opened up in the Waltz of the Toreadors. Dun 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 dun. Ooh, I like the beatboxing. That's amazing. And in 2012, the Roundabout Theater Company at the American Airlines Theater opened The Road to Mecca.
Interesting. I thought you were saying The Rose. I'm like, didn't know The Rose was made into a musical, but I might be here for that.
Well, you know, love is a nose, but you better not pick it. Birthdays. Dennis O'Hare.
Ooh.
Andy Kaufman.
Oh, that's his birthday. Interesting character, yeah. That Andy Kaufman.
Very interesting. Daniel Jenkins. And one James Earl Jones,
yes.
Or as I like to call
him. But it's
him.
Also Eartha Kitt, too, you said earlier,
oh, yeah.
Right?
I didn't mention her because I already mentioned, and it's Eartha Kitt.
I wish James Earl Jones and Eartha Kitt did something together. That would have been fantastic.
That would have been fantastic.
Two most epic voices on the
That's
planet.
That's what I'm talking I'm like, about with the deep and the brrr. Like, oh.
I would love that.
In my dreams. I'm going to have dreams about that.
I'm a big fan of James Earl Jones.
Yes.
I just want to say that.
Me too.
And I love when he does comedy, when he does fun stuff.
He does do fun stuff.
Well, we're going to take a break and we're going to come back and talk to Carl and Lacey and a few others, I think.
Hopefully.
About the show that's happening at different stages. In the meantime, let's listen to, from the show Kurt Vonnegut's God Bless You, Mr. Rosewater, Mr. James Earl Jones performing a poem by William Blake.
A poem by William Blake.
And we are back. You are listening to Offstage and on the Air with Lisa and
Nicole
and
Brianna
and
Lacey.
And
I'm nervous. I forgot my name.
I'll say it's Carl.
Thank you.
Yeah, I love doing that.
Yeah.
Nobody has missed a cue when I've done that.
No.
People figure it out right away.
We're talented.
Carl
like
and
that.
Lacey are here to talk about a show that's being done at different stages that they are directing. So I will officially welcome you, Carl
Thank
Gonzalez
you.
And Lacey Cannon Gonzalez,
Thanks.
To Offstage and on the Air. And your show is called The Library. And what is it about a library?
It takes place in a library. So the show is about 16-year-old Caitlin Gabriel, who wakes up in a hospital after surviving a school shooting. And she's having a hard time saying what happened to her parents and to the authorities. All the while, there are other narratives that are being spread that aren't painting her in the best light.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
That's a lot.
It is a lot.
It's just hard to hear when you say that now. Everybody has. I would be very surprised if nobody had some kind of visceral reaction just to that thought.
That was the thing. Like reading the play, at first I was just like, "Whoa, can I even direct this?" And then the more especially Lacey and I talked about it, the more we came up with a really good vision and a really good mission for why the show needs to be produced.
Well, Lacey, tell us about that vision and mission.
Sure. So a lot of times with shows or plays that revolve around school shootings, it revolves around the event. And what we're seeing is the aftermath. So it's people that have been affected by this tragedy and how they navigate that. And I think that's important to showcase because actually Gina Houston, who's in the show, she has a great line that says, we move from tragedy to tragedy. And a lot of times that doesn't allow us to really reflect on what's happening. Mm. So in this case, we're getting to really see what happens when the cameras stop rolling and the news cycle moves on.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, as we know, there are more than one a day of mass shootings in this country. Is this based on something that actually happened?
It is loosely based on Columbine.
Okay.
So not, I'm sure not the first, but one of the most prolific.
I believe, I mean, it's in terms of school shootings, I would think it's certainly the most, it started, in my mind, it seemed to start the process. They didn't seem to exist very
it was when
that.
We also started having constant news cycles.
Exactly.
Like, so like the news feeds into this. And this was at a point where we started having computers. I mean, we were dialing up and it was rare, but like things were different, that the information was, it was more instant, more accessible, and more in your face.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it exasperated a lot of things.
And something that they ran into during that time is it became, it wasn't necessarily what was the most factual, it was who got to the microphone first.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So that's why, and even nowadays, we have stereotypes that we base, even in media, that we base on people that perpetrate school shootings or shootings in general, that were given to, that when students were interviewed from Columbine, they said these things and they weren't fact checked and they were just aired. Mm-hmm. And we still have those things that we base things around and they're not true at all.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Well, this must have been clearly it's a tough subject to deal with and hard to say. I'm guessing this is not a comedy.
It is not. It is not close to being a comedy. And we are very lucky with the cast that we have, that they're able to find the humanity and not just, what we like to say, get trapped in the emotional waiting pool. And we have Lucky Cantu, who's playing our Caitlin Gabriel, 16-year-old high school student who's phenomenal. Yeah. We have Evan McQuaid and Bo Paul, who are playing her parents. And then rounding out the cast, we have Liz Waters, Jason Park, Stan McDowell, and Gina Houston. I'm not missing anyone, right?
Nope, you got them all.
Okay, just making sure.
Good. I was going to say, if you didn't know, you could
like,
just
you
act.
You did that pretty quickly, so...
Yeah.
Hats off.
I couldn't do that. Well, that's amazing. So this is a part of Different Stages season. Do you know why this play was chosen? Did you choose the play or was it chosen for you?
So I did not choose the play. Originally, Norman approached me to direct something
Norman
else.
Blumensaught.
Norman Blumensaught approached me to direct a different play. But then at the last minute, brought this play to me and was like, hey, have you read this? And I'm like, no, I haven't. So I read it. I had a reaction to it and I told him that I would be more than happy to direct it. And then when I brought on Lacey as my AD, I started realizing that I needed some extra help with a few things. So I actually made Lacey my co-director for this.
Awesome. Yeah. Amazing. Well, we know that very, very well.
Very well.
Y'all are a great team working together. That's great. And this is being done over at Trinity Street Playhouse.
Yes, it is.
You're opening pretty soon, are you not?
Next Friday.
Next Friday.
A week from this Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Are, so we're in the techie land getting in there.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. Yeah. We load in on Sunday.
Yeah. Walking up those stairs.
The fun begins.
Yep.
And we sure were last night because the elevator went out.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
So our boxes of props.
That's a double.
Well, I guess you were staying warm.
We were.
Right, yes,
I was
we were.
Funny. It was nice.
Double duty. So how, so, you know, we've all worked together. And when you're working on a piece like this, you know, there's a lot that we find important to keep our team safe. How are y'all coping with just the subject matter and keeping the company safe?
I think it really starts creating a safe environment for the cast. So we start, and this was something we learned from you, Lisa, at Ground Floor. We start every rehearsal with a boundary check. And we just make sure everyone is in a space that we can address those topics that are addressed in the show. And if someone isn't, we can take a moment, talk about it. Someone can take a break, whatever the case may be.
Sure. Well, that's amazing. And who are some of the other team? Who's your design team?
Oh, we have a great one.
We do. So
we have Amy Lewis doing lights.
Lovely.
Jeff Miller on sound. Lowell Bartholomew is doing our video design. So we're going to be working with projection. That's pretty cool. And then my sister Laura Celeste Cannon is our costume designer.
Great. That sounds like
a
great team.
Nice little team there.
Well, that sounds. I was going to say it sounds like a lot of fun, but it doesn't sound like a lot of fun. But it sounds like it's really important work. I'm guessing we don't want to take the kids to this?
I think 16 and up. I think that's the age of the student, and I think that's about the age that I would say is good for this.
I agree.
There is some offensive language, mm-hmm. and obviously the subject matter. There is depiction of grief and loss, so that's something to keep in mind before you come to see the show.
Yeah. Are you doing anything like any talkbacks or anything like that?
We are. We don't know the dates yet. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we are.
But I suspect that'll be all online for people
to
find out.
Yeah, they can find out. And where would folks go to get more information?
You can go to differentstagestheater.org.
That's right, yes. I know, I actually miss his old web address. Remember? diffstages.com/blah, blah, 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 blah. It was really a lot of fun.
He used to chuckle all the time, too, every time you did it.
Every time he did it, it made me laugh. I had a really good time.
It made Norman laugh, too. Norman got a good chuckle.
So you said you open a week from Friday. That's the 26th?
Yes.
When do you close?
February 11th.
February 11th. Well, that's great. Thank you all for coming on the show.
Thanks for coming on.
And we should say, I don't think we even need to say it, both Carl and Lacey have co-hosted this show multiple times.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like old home week here. Right?
Yeah, it is. Coming back. It feels good to be back.
It actually feels weird to be on this side.
That's right. You're on a different side.
I'm here. I'm usually right next to you because you're being amazing somewhere else, Nicole. So,
in which Nicole quite often is. Well, thank y'all for being on the show, and best of luck with the project.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank y'all.
I'm definitely going to try to get over there to see it.
Please do.
It was Carl Gonzalez, Lacey Cannon Gonzalez of Different Stages Production of The Library. Opens January 26th through February 11th. For more information, differentstagestheater.org. And this is from a show called Most Likely To. And this is a song called Most Likely to Survive.
Exiled on an island right behind us now.
Okay, we are back. We're plumb out of time.
You pulled some songs out from musicals I did not know today.
I know. This is an interesting...
Stumping my little hiney today, yep. Miss Lisa Sheps.
I know. Well, you know, I always have really good time putting those together. I will not be here for the next 2 weeks.
I know. You're leaving me.
You and Tracy are going to be...
Not cool, man.
You're going to have a great time. The show's going to be good because I won't be there. So thank you for doing that.
Oh, it's always my pleasure. I leave you here and there. So.
Excellent.
We're a team, Lisa. Shiro and Shep. Sheps and Shiro.
Both of us.
Here we are.
All three of us. So we still have a few more minutes. We've got a little bit of time. How did you like working with us?
I love how everything flows. This show is fantastic. But really, from someone who's not into the theater world, but like listening to everyone talk, it's fascinating. So I can't wait to connect with you after to learn about your theater, find you guys on Instagram, and follow along.
Well, yep, we do.
See, you learn there is theater for everyone. You may not think you're a theater goer, but there is a show out there that will call to you.
There is a show. And not multiple ones.
If people wanted to connect with you, is there a way that they can find you on social media or anything?
Yes, Instagram is my main platform. You can find me at Brianna Weatherspoon.
At Brianna Weatherspoon. And you are in the event industry.
I have been for the longest, but I'm trying to find my path here as maybe being like a radio DJ or something. Busy bee.
Yeah, you can do both.
Yeah,
that's the way it works here. Well, we are plumb out of time. Austin Common Radio Hour is up next. I have that it is Racism on the Levels with Stacey Frazier. That is exactly
that
what's going to happen.
That is exactly what it is.
Afterwards.
How did you look in your crystal ball and know that?
So Nicole will be back next week when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. And this is from Merrily We Roll Along. This is a video. This is the audio from a video they did of the cast album, which evidently they are doing.
I was like, they are. I meant to mention that.
And
to you.
You can see a link to this video at offstageonair.com. We will see you next week. Bye, folks.
Bye.
It's our time. Breathe it in. Worlds to change and worlds to win. Our turn coming through.